And delighted to say I'm joined by someone who is used to dealing with wizards and dwarfs and hobbits, King Thorin himself, Richard Armitage. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Did you like that one then?
I did like that link very much.
So does working with wizards have its advantages then, Richard?
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun to sort of stand in front of someone like Ian McKellen when he's dressed as Gandalf, waving his big wand around. And yeah, there's a lot of magic going on in The Hobbit. I've rubbed shoulders with Galadriel, who's a famous elf queen. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And there is a sort of element of magic in Ian and in Peter Jackson as well, the way that they make these movies. So I really enjoyed that.
Well, listen, The Hobbit is out on DVD tomorrow, so we're going to be chatting about the film in just a moment. Yep, I'm Rick Astley, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by The Hobbit's King Thorin, Richard Armitage. Hello.
Hello.
So the obvious question, I guess, is what was it like to work on something this huge?
It is huge, and the very first day I walked onto the soundstage, I was quite intimidated by the amount of people working on it. You know, you pull back a curtain, there are 500 guys on computers, but you know, Peter Jackson really makes the environment feel safe and intimate, and of course you go to work with a huge amount of research done, so you feel, you know, I felt confident to go there and do what I do and try and do it well. But yeah, it never fails to you know, amaze you.
So for those who haven't seen it, can you just explain a little bit about who Thorin actually is?
He's the leader of the Company of Dwarves. He was exiled from Erebor by the dragon Smaug, who basically came and obliterated his people and stole the gold. And he comes at the beginning of the story. He arrives in Bag End to take 13 dwarves on a quest to reclaim that kingdom, to reclaim his throne. And he's forced to take along Bilbo Baggins at the behest of Gandalf the Wizard. And that's where they begin their tale.
Yeah, Martin Freeman as Bilbo Baggins. I mean, there isn't really anybody else who could have played that any better, I don't think, was there?
It's interesting because when you read the book, everyone creates their own version of Bilbo. But then when I met Martin and I saw what he was doing with the role, it's impossible to ever perceive anybody else doing that role now. He his humour and his sense of a child within a man, which I really think Martin has, is something that really captures the essence of Bilbo Baggins.
So what you're really saying is he's just immature.
He has a very kind of childlike sense of humour.
So Gollum's back in there too, and Andy Serkis, wasn't he a director on the movie?
Yeah, he was our second unit director, which was great because he had an instant reference to Peter's taste and Middle Earth. And he was so much fun to work with, and because he's an actor, he just understood how to communicate what he wanted to you very quickly. So going on to second unit was as much fun as it was working on main unit. So most of the action sequences, like the burning forest at the end of movie one, was Andy's set, and a big fight sequence where I smashed myself in the face with my own shield was on Andy's set. So there was litigation to be had there.
Nice. I mean, do you get emotional in terms of like seeing part of the set just burning down like that?
Yeah, the only emotion you feel is the desire to run in the opposite direction away from the fire. But they did two versions of it. They set fire to the entire soundstage, every tree on the set, and then had me running through it. And then they blew out all the flames and decided they were going to do it with CGI. So I couldn't figure out in the movie which one they'd used, but I guess it's easier for them to do it on the computer these days than it is for real.
I mean, that's scary, isn't it? That you watch the movie and even you can't tell. That's crazy.
They could have CGI'd me running through CGI flames, and then I could have just done it from home.
Brilliant. So I guess Andy does all that when he's playing Gollum. I mean, with all those blue balls stuck to him and all the rest of it, I mean, he's done that forever.
Yes, he's the master of motion capture, I believe, or performance capture, as it's now known, because, I mean, it's something that he's developed from the early days of Lord of the Rings. He's absolutely patented that technique of performance capture, and I think you can see in the first of our Hobbit movies that the technology has taken such a leap forward. You really see the emotion in the character's eyes, and it's a CGI creation.
Well, listen, I do want to talk more about the movie, that's for sure, but I need to get a bit of music on, and to be honest, any excuse to put a bit of Crowded House on is all right by me. Don't Dream It's Over is my favourite, and there's a little bit of a link. Do you know the link?
I met him.
Really?
Yes, he sang the song.
This is Neil Finn, of course. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He was at the Wellington premiere, so he sang The Misty Mountains rather better than I did. So, yeah, what a privilege.
Well, here he is with his original band, Crowded House, and Don't Dream It's Over. Rick Astley here, and I'm with you right the way through until four today. Then Danny will be here with the Stress Busters. Right now, though, I'm joined by King Thorin himself from The Hobbit, Richard Armitage. How was New Zealand then?
Pretty spectacular. I mean, New Zealand is Middle Earth. Middle Earth is New Zealand. It's very interesting when you watch the film back, and you try to work out what's real and what's created in a computer, and you really can't see the difference. But you know, some of those landscapes that we were privileged enough to film on just are breathtaking, and it's pristine wilderness. I've never seen anything like it, and I think it's why the movies are so successful.
You know the bits that aren't New Zealand, though, because there's no sheep in them.
There aren't that many sheep in New Zealand that we filmed close to. Or that, I mean, I gather there are more sheep than people, but I never saw any of them. I ate a few of them.
Well, you know the scene early on in the film where, you know, you're all in Bilbo's house and you're all eating, you know, all kinds of stuff. What sort of food is it that you're actually eating?
Oh, it was that was the art department who create all of that food, and it's really wonderful, very edible food. I mean, the soup that I was eating at the table was like a beef stew that I just couldn't get enough of. However, 3 days into filming, when I was like having to shovel that beef stew into my mouth, it was it's not so tasty then.
So what's it like for you as an actor being away from home so long? I mean, you know, you're there for a long time. It takes a long time to film these kind of movies.
It does. I mean, we were there for 18 months, and when you're taken away from home like that, you just become incredibly focused on your job, and you create a family and a community, which I really think helped the camaraderie of the dwarves. And you know, we all had such a good time together. We sort of worked together, played together, and then tried to get away from each other at the weekends if we could. But yeah, I think it enhances the experience, really.
I wouldn't mind betting Martin Freeman's pretty good to go and have a drink with as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fun on the road. He's you know, when you're feeling a bit down, you call Martin and say, look, come and have a drink, because he keeps you perky.
I mean, there's going to be three films made out of this book as well. I mean, how long in total do you think you're going to spend it in New Zealand? I mean, that's going to be forever.
I've got another 10 weeks this year to shoot, which actually is in a traditional movie length. It's like shooting another film. I think there's 20 minutes of the third movie to shoot, which is the Battle of the Five Armies, and some other things in movies too. So in total it will have been about 2 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back. I mean, there's so much to do and see, and my extended family now are the Kiwis, so I'm looking forward to going back and saying hi to them all.
You're not going to be getting yourself a Maori tattoo, are you?
I'm thinking maybe across my face or something.
Now listen, obviously you've done loads of stage work. I mean, is this cast and the fact that you're with them for so long a bit like being in a theatre company?
Definitely. And, you know, Peter hires a lot of folk that have been in the theatre as well. You know, Ken Stott and myself and Ian McKellen. So, you know, he likes a voice and, he likes a character face. But all of these people that come from that background, they have a work ethic and a stamina that is infectious. So it's a lot of fun, and you know, you learn how to survive the pressure of that intense filming period. And you know, everyone gets a little bit cantankerous, but you learn how to deal with it. So it was a lot of fun, really.
Now, is it right you got your equity card by joining a Hungarian circus?
Oh, that old chestnut. Yeah, it's true. I did. It was back in the days when you needed a card to work. So I was in Budapest throwing batons and hula hoops to jugglers and skateboarders. Yeah.
Not running away from the lions and tigers, then?
A little bit. Sleeping next to the elephants. Which was fun.
Which is in good preparation for doing The Hobbit, I guess, isn't it?
All good preparation, yeah.
Now, I also gather you're doing a film about Richard III.
I wish. No, I'm not doing a film about Richard III, but it's something which is it's an interest, it's a passion of mine. And obviously they've recently discovered his burial place and they've done a facial reconstruction. It's an ongoing project that may or may not come to fruition, but it doesn't bend my sway my interest in it.
He was found in your hometown, wasn't he?
He was, and I'm actually named after him because I was born on 22nd of August, which is the day that he died on Bosworth Field. So my father was interested in him. So I always grew up a little bit angry at my dad for naming me after a hunchback monster. But then he explained to me that he was just perhaps a misinterpreted king. So that's something that's become a passion of mine as well.
Well, listen, we're nearly out of time, but I do have to get a song choice on from you. And I was kind of hoping that you'd pick the song from your first ever TV role. Hi-Ho Silver, Jim Diamond from Boone.
Oh, my goodness. You've really done your research. I don't even remember that.
But you haven't gone for that, have you?
No, I'm not going to choose that one. I'm going to choose Somebody I Used to Know by Gautier.
And what is it about this song, then?
You know what? I listened to that album a lot when I was in New Zealand. And then when we were on the press tour for The Hobbit, I got the opportunity to present him with his ARIA Award, which is the Australian Music Awards, which he won for Best... I think it was the best album, so it was. And I didn't know it was him. And I opened the envelope. I was like, "Oh wow! I love this. I love this song. I love this album." So that's why I chose it.
The Hobbit is out on Blu-ray, DVD, digital download, and I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of extras on that DVD, isn't there?
Yes, on the DVD there are the video blogs which Peter drip-fed to the fans over the course of this shoot, which will be really exciting.
Cool. Any bloopers on this one?
Not on this one. I think there's going to be bloopers on the extended edition, which will be very funny.
And how long until the next one?
The second film is Christmas 2013. That's this year, this Christmas.
Wow.
Comes around quick, doesn't it?
And you're still filming it, Tom?
Yeah. We've got middle of the year, we'll be finishing up parts of the second and third film.
Good luck with that one, love.
Yeah.
Hey, but come on, Peter Jackson, he knows what he's doing, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. I mean, he's got it all in his head.
And at least we know he's not going to edit too much, is he? I mean, come on, he likes a long film, doesn't he?
Well, you know, I think he's telling a very long story you know... He's got a lot of characters to investigate, and if you've paid a little bit extra for your 3D high frame rate, then a little bit of extra movie doesn't do any harm, does it?
It's value for money.
Value for money.
Well, listen, that's all I've got time for this week. The original Super Nanny, Joe Frost, will be on Magic Meets tonight. That's at 7. Danny's up next, though, so all that remains for me to do is to ask you, Richard, if you'll round off the show in the usual way for us.
Hey, this is Richard Armitage, and you've been listening to Rick Astley on Magic. Until next time. You stay classy now, London.